Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
We finished Ephesians 3, and chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians are some of the most astounding, amazing revelation of the heart of God that you'll ever read in your life. Writers have written about those three chapters in ways that they'll say things like, this is the most profound thing ever written, and I tend to agree with that. As the Apostle Paul is revealing what God has shown him, he didn't get it from man, he didn't consult with man, the Lord revealed to the Apostle Paul the impact of and the application of the life, work, death, words of Jesus, his finished work. The Apostle Paul was the first one to see it, and he talked about it in those first three chapters. Chapter 4 begins a whole thing about the organization of the church in some ways, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, and then he goes into body life of the church there, that we are to grow up in the Lord, we're to mature, not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine and every sea change of emotion that happens to us. We're to be grounded and rooted in love. We're to build ourselves up in love. We're to encourage one another in the love of Christ and all of that. It goes into chapter 5, and there's some, I would say, good advice in chapter 4, certainly toward the end of it. Work hard. Stop stealing. Start working so you have money for yourself and that to give away. Just good practical advice that gives us the capacity, because of what Christ has done, to allow him to change our lives in ways, in practical ways. Then in chapter 5, I'm skipping the first portion of chapter 5, and I want to come to the end, or nearly, to the middle section of chapter 5 today. So if you'll turn over there, I want to read just a few verses. Ephesians 5, verse 15, we'll start. And I'm going to go through this quickly, so we'll be through on time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Paul says, therefore... And therefore always means that there's been a discussion prior to this. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I did a series on that. Stop being foolish, but become wise and know God's will. You know, you got a choice there. You can be stupid or you can be wise, one or the other. And the Lord will love you anyway, even if you're foolish. But that doesn't stop the fact that you're foolish, okay? So don't be foolish, be wise, understand what the will of God is. Press in to understand God's ways, his heart, his attitude toward you, his perspective of things, and that makes you wise, okay? You can understand his will. Verse 18, and then do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, as we did this morning, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God be the Father, to God, even the Father. And again, we've discussed the giving of thanks many times, that my experience in the last 20 years or so is that the understanding of the finished work of Christ and understanding the love and grace of God, as it is clearly delineated in Scripture, leaves you at a place before God that you have little to say except thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's our hearts being filled with gratitude as we understand for what? Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Now I want to focus on the phrase here, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here's the background to this statement that Paul makes. Jesus said in John 16, he said, it is better for you that I go away. And they were thinking, how in the world could that be possible? But he knew things they didn't know. He said, it's better for you that I go away, because if I go away, I will send another. And Allon Parakleton, I will send another like me, really. That's what the word means. It means two or three things. First of all, it is translated as helper in the New American Standard. It's translated comforter. But the primary application of that word, speaking of the Holy Spirit, is advocate. I will send another advocate like me, one like me. I will send one of like kind to you. And he will not be with you, he will be in you. And that's a different dynamic of being in you or with you. Jesus was with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of the Father is in you. And here's the way I see it. Jesus, also called an advocate, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I don't really want you to sin, but I want you to know that if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous one. So Jesus is the advocate. He pleads our cause. That's what advocating for someone is, pleading your cause. He advocates for us to the Father. The Holy Spirit is the Father's advocate to us, pleading the Father's cause, the revelation of all that God is, all that he said, all that this scripture stuff that it talks about means. That's what the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said later in chapter 16, he said, he, the Spirit of truth, the teacher, will remind you or talk to you about all the things that I said. He says, I have a lot more to say to you, but you cannot at this point bear it. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will speak to you about everything that I've said. He will lead you into all the truth. He'll be your teacher. So what he's teaching us about is the Father and the Son. He's advocating from that perspective for God to us. So he's our teacher. He's a very, very important, it's very important that you understand the operation of, the person of, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. Your body right this moment, if you're a believer, your body right this moment is the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't overemphasize that nor overstate it. Very important that you understand the ministry of, the advocacy of the Holy Spirit that is within you. In Acts 1:8, to give you more background, in Acts 1:8, Jesus, after his crucifixion, but before his ascension into heaven, he was appearing, okay? He appears to the disciples and he says, go over to the city of Jerusalem and wait. In Luke 24, go over to the city of Jerusalem and wait for the promised of the Father. For the promised one of the Father. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Go wait for him and he will come upon you. So in Acts 1:8, they were in the upper room waiting. And Jesus had already prophesied that he's coming. Then in Acts chapter 2, you have the fulfillment of that, that the Holy Spirit came upon them in power. This is the first time this event has ever happened in human history. It was foretold, but in the fullness of God's time, the Holy Spirit invaded the lives of human beings, fulfilling the prophecy in Joel chapter 2, where he said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. This is an event in human history, no event to God, but in human history, in the fullness of God's time, the Spirit's presence in the world, his presence in human beings, was a reality. What the prophets foretold is a reality here. The Holy Spirit didn't dwell in them then. He came upon them and they prophesied, but he didn't dwell in them then. He came to dwell in the human frame after the resurrection, after the ascension of Jesus in the fullness of God's time. Very important that you understand the ministry, the person ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will have power. Power, dynamic power. When you receive the Spirit, you'll have dynamic power. Ephesians 1, we read about that earlier in our study of Ephesians. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, that you may know some things. And one of the things he said, I want you to know through the enlightenment, this revelation of the Holy Spirit, is the surpassing greatness of God's power toward you who believe. It's the same power that God demonstrated and displayed when he raised Jesus from the dead. And then he took Jesus, ascended him to the right hand of the Father, and made all of his enemies a footstool for his feet. This is the kind of power that's directed here. So it's important for us to understand that the Holy Spirit is powerful in us, toward us who believe. So there's a demonstration of power. Then there's the promise, Luke 24. I've already mentioned that. He says, behold, I'm sending the promise of the Father upon you. That's God's promise. He promised it, and that's what he did. My Father upon you. My Father said this, that he will send the Spirit upon you. Now look. All you can do with the Spirit of God is receive him. That's all you can do. That's what they did in the upper room. They were there waiting. He came. They received. You receive what has already been done. You consistently move forward and receive what has already been done. Now here's the process of this. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9 through 13, Jesus is teaching them, and he said, which one of you, he says, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you, so forth. And then he says, which one of you, being a father on earth, if your child asks you for bread, you'll not give him a snake, will you? If he asks you for an egg, he'll not give you a scorpion, will he? Well, of course not. You wouldn't do that in the natural. How much more then will your heavenly Father give the Spirit to those who ask? Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So it's receiving. It's saying yes to what's already been done. There's no striving in this. There's no self insinuation into this equation. It's the Father giving, the Spirit being present, and you receiving. That's really the process. Okay. One of the most important things you'll ever do with your life, the rest of your life, is to become intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit of God, who dwells within you. There's no reason to fear him. There's no reason to resist him. There's no reason to put any kind of barrier in the way of him. He loves you. He cares about you. He desires to empower you, to teach you, to comfort you, to advocate for you, to lead you, and inspire you. All those things. Now, this is God, the Spirit, in us. We are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Do not get drunk with wine, for it is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This verb, be filled, be, filled is a present passive plural imperative. Present passive plural imperative. Present tense, passive voice, plural imperative. It's in the present, this verb is in the present tense. In Greek, in the present tense always means continuous action. An action that shouldn't or doesn't cease. It goes on. So when he says be filled, it is something that continuously happens to us. It's not a one-time event and then you're done. It's a continuous activity of your life in receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Continually, Paul is saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we'll get back to that in a moment. Now, the second part of this is it's in the passive voice. Not the active voice, but passive voice. Passive voice means that you don't do anything, it's done to you. You understand what I'm saying? You don't do it, he does it. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't take that as something that really is your doing. It's his doing. Passive voice. Something that happens to you. Just like we said last week. Faith isn't something that I do. Faith is something I let happen. As God convinces me. As the Father persuades me. Being divinely persuaded. Same thing is true of the Holy Spirit. It is in the passive voice. Nothing you do but receive. You can't beg. It doesn't help to beg. It doesn't help to do anything except receive. Be filled with the Spirit, passive voice, something done to you. And then it's plural. Be filled is in the plural, meaning all of you be filled with the Holy Spirit. All of you be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the Apostle Paul really translating for us the revelation of Christ and the Spirit's presence within us. All that Jesus did when he went away, he sent the Spirit. And he says, all of you now be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this has some repercussions for you. First of all, it says you're going to be really happy for one thing. You're going to be full of gratitude for another thing. You're going to want to sing about him. You're going to be filled with this joy that you want to express not only individually but corporately. He brings a great sense of submission among us, mutual submission among us. All of us submitting to the Father together, therefore being submitted to one another. Plural. Important that everyone be filled with the Holy Spirit, continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the last one, in my opinion, is one of the most important ones. It's an imperative. Some people would say that's a command. I call an imperative. It's imperative. It's an imperative. It's utterly and absolutely and totally imperative that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul knew this. It's imperative that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's imperative that you all be filled with the Holy Spirit. What you might not know is there are things that are operating and happening in the world that makes it imperative that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in their case, it was tremendous persecution. It was about to happen upon the church, and all kinds of things were about to break forth and break loose there. But in our case, it's the same thing. It's imperative we be filled with the Holy Spirit. So don't ever put aside the Holy Spirit and think you don't have to have anything to do with him because he's mysterious or something. Or you're afraid of what he might do to you or something. I mean, all of the, you know, the Pentecostal and all of the stuff has kind of muddied the waters here. But it's imperative you be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's imperative for your life that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's imperative for your decisions that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's imperative at your work that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's imperative in your family life that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's imperative in your relationships that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Imperative. You were made for this stuff. This is what you were made. This is how you were created to function, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit as he teaches you, leads you, guides you, comforts you, all the things that he's sent to do and does do are very imperative for your life. You need him like you need oxygen in the natural. And he's doing a lot of this stuff even if you're not aware of it. Now, when I first began seeing the ministry of the Holy Spirit, one of the first things that that happened to me was this, that for the first time, and this was years ago, but for the first time, I had this thought, he's my teacher. That means that he's talking to me, that he's teaching me, and he'll speak with me if I'll talk to him. For the first time, I felt like I had great confidence that I could hear God speaking to me. And if I could hear God speaking to me, and he was in fact speaking, it was very, very important that I have some of these conversations with him. Not because I'm a pastor, he doesn't speak to me because I'm a pastor. He speaks to me because the presence of the Holy Spirit is within me, just like you. So listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking. The Father is expressing himself through the Spirit all the time. Never discount your ability to hear him. Never discount your ability to hear him. Never discount also his willingness to speak. And this is not so ethereal that you can't understand it. You can. Many people pray, they'll pray this way. Lord, give me ears to hear. Lord, give me ears to hear. Give me eyes to see. Help me hear like someone else hears, you know, and they have somebody in their mind. Give me ears to hear, Lord. Give me eyes to see. That's the wrong prayer. The reason it's the wrong prayer is you already have ears to hear and you already have eyes to see. Jesus said this. He says the wise guys, all of the prophets and the big shots and all this desired to see the things that you see and to hear the things that you hear, but this was shut up to them. It was shut off to them. I have revealed it to you babies. I've revealed it to you babes. You have eyes to see and you have ears to hear. Stop praying for eyes and ears. We don't have a seeing problem because we have eyes to see. And we don't have a hearing problem because we have ears to hear. We don't have a seeing problem. We have a looking problem. We're not looking. Because if you look, you'll see. We don't have a hearing problem. We have a listening problem. Because if you listen, you'll hear. Now, I say that with a great deal of kindness. I understand how you feel. I understand the struggles of going through the whole process of trying to hear God and then wondering if you did or not and all that, all the insecurities we have about all that. I get all that. I understand that. But I want you to understand that you can hear God and you can see his ways. You can. He's speaking all the time. Never discount his willingness to speak, nor discount your ability to hear. Live your life that way. Let God speak to you about your family. Let God speak to you about your children. Let God speak to you about your work, the things that concern you. Let God speak to you about all these different areas of life. Live your life being filled with the Spirit and listening to him. Please. It will change your life. It'll change a lot of decisions that you make. Certainly do this in the big decisions of your life, but do them also in the smaller ones. If you'll press in to hear, you'll hear. If you'll start listening, you'll hear. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take you turning off outside distractions for a little while and to start looking and listening. If you'll look and listen, you'll see and hear. I promise you, you will.